to continue with our theme for this year of Heaven Invades, and really want to talk about divine interruptions, about the times when God interrupts our lives. And in fact, it probably happens far more than most of us are aware of. I just want to read, we're going to look at a familiar passage to many people in Acts chapter 9, and I just want to read this passage and go through that. So we'll start with Acts chapter 9. And this is the conversion of Saul, or Saul who becomes Paul. And as you can see, it's quite a dramatic story as it unfolds. It does start with the word meanwhile. So we better, just before we get into that, we look at the word meanwhile. We'll find out what happened meanwhile. Earlier on at the end of chapter 7 is where you have the stoning of Stephen, who looks up and he sees heaven opened up and sees the glory of the Lord. And then the people decide to stone him. Saul is there. It says that he's there in hearty agreement. In fact, he's the guy who says, look, just give me all your cloaks, guys. I'll look after all your stuff. Go for it. You stone Stephen. And so he was there giving his approval of the stoning of Stephen. And then as a great persecution broke out across the church. And then we have, as they moved around, Philip goes to Samaria. Amazing signs and wonders. Great things happening there. People get converted. Peter and John, they hit in Jerusalem, the apostles here. There's great things happening in Samaria. They send Peter and John, they go there and just teaching them about the things of God, about the Holy Spirit and good things that are happening there. The whole episode with Simon, the sorcerer, happens there. And then we come back to over these events here where we've got meanwhile. And so we'll go on with the events here in Acts chapter 9. So Saul had already, after he was there at the stoning of Stephen, that's when he's launched his career, which went for about 6 months or so of persecuting Christians, of rounding people up, having them beaten, thrown to prison, many of them killed. And Saul was responsible for that. He had the authority of the high priest in Jerusalem. And even as people were scattered, he would hunt them down. He was hunting down Christians. You'd find out from the synagogue leaders, and they'd find out, yeah, there's Christians here. So Paul would go there and he would get them. He would hunt them down. And he did that for a period of around about 6 months or so. So meanwhile, in verse 1 of Acts chapter 9, let's keep on reading. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, remember Christians were called the followers of the way before they became then known as Christians later on, whether men or women, he might take them into prison at Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus, now we're probably familiar with this story, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus who you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. He was blinded. It tells us in this story is actually mentioned 3 times in the book of Acts, and then also Paul recounts it in the book of Galatians. And we find out a little bit later, Paul says it was the blinding of the light was so bright that that's what blinded him for a period of about 3 days. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in vision, Ananias, yes, Lord, he said. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and said, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he was done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all those who call on your name. The Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he will suffer for my name. Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Remember, he hadn't eaten or had anything to drink for 3 days. And so we have this incredible, dramatic encounter on the road to Damascus. We've got Paul, who has been persecuting the church and throwing people in prison, having people killed, responsible for that. Very happy when Stephen was stoned to death, gave his hearty approval of what was happening there. And so this man who was so against everything of the things of following Christ, he was a devout Pharisee. He describes himself as a Pharisee of a Pharisee. So he's a very religious man. He was strong in his religion, strong in his fervor under the law. But he was opposed about everything to do with Jesus Christ. And we hear this story of this incredible encounter. And just one thing I should point out to you, because if you go on and keep on reading in Acts chapter 9, you'll find it says, it goes there that he went from there. It talks about in Damascus, where there's a bit of an uproar. He gets downloaded in a basket. He escapes, and then he goes off to Jerusalem. But those events, just so that you know the timeline, if you read that straight through, you'll think, oh, those things happen one after another. But actually, there is a break in the timeline there. Galatians 1 tells us when he's recounting in Galatians 1, he says there that he went after this experience to Damascus. He goes to Damascus. He gets hands laid upon him. He gets filled with the Spirit. His eyes are opened. He can see. He goes off to Arabia, to the desert area, and he's there for about 3 years or so. Then he comes back to Damascus. That's when there's the uproar, and then he goes from there to Jerusalem. So there's about a three-year break in there, which is important, which I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But here we have Saul, who is one who is persecuting the Christians with such a fervor and such a tenacity. He hates everything to do with Christians, because he is a Pharisee under the law. They didn't acknowledge that Christ had come, that he was the Messiah. And so he was deadly opposed to the things of God. And then something happens in his life. And so he has this incredible interruption in his life, where there's this dramatic encounter where this bright, blinding light comes from heaven, and this voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" It's interesting. The Lord didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my followers?" He actually took that personally, that you persecuting people who are following Christ, then you're actually persecuting him. And so we've got to be really careful too. We've talked about how whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. Well, if we're actually, people are against persecuting the things of Christ, they're actually not against Christians, they're actually against God. And that would not a nice place to be. So we have this dramatic encounter where Saul then, and he says, "Lord, it's you." He gets instructions to go, and this incredible intervention in his life. And you think, well, you know, why was that such a dramatic intervention? Why did the Lord have to do something so dramatic to Saul? Was it because he was going to be the one that would be this mighty apostle, would go on and then write, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament? Is that why he needed this intervention commensurate with the call that he was going to have, something very dramatic? But we actually find that we look at the life of Paul, that we can see that what Paul was doing, he was very preoccupied with what he was doing. He was so passionate about what he was doing because he was fervent for the law. He said, as to zeal and to religious righteousness, he was faultless. He was very zealous. He was totally consumed with what he was doing. We're going to root out every one of these followers of the way. We're going to get them, and we're going to stop this. We're going to nip this thing in the bud. We're going to crush this thing. And so he was very preoccupied with that. And then yet the Lord in his mercy, and it's in his mercy that the Lord comes to him. The Lord didn't come to Saul and to strike him dead because Saul has been killing Christians. You'd think that, well, maybe that was a just thing. He didn't do that. When the Lord came to him, he intervened because he wanted Paul as his child, but also to use him for his glory. But he was very preoccupied. And it can be really happy. It can be in people's lives when the Lord is actually wanting them, calling them, but they're so caught up in what they're doing in life. They're so caught up in their job, in their career. It just becomes all-consuming, and everything is that, all preoccupied with something that they think is very good and very valuable. And, of course, work is necessary. You've got to make a living. You've got to eat. We know those things. He was totally preoccupied with that. Some people are so full-on with their family and everything that there's no room for anything of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And he has this massive intervention. But it's clear from the scripture that the Lord actually didn't was actually trying to get his attention for quite some time. It wasn't just let Saul go and then bang, okay, I better do something. He was actually trying to get his attention for a while. And maybe there's people here that you haven't given your life to Christ. The Lord's been trying to get your attention for a while. In the account in Acts chapter 26. Now this is the third account in Acts where this is story is told. And the first part of Acts, which we've just read, this is Luke who has found out from Paul, and Paul has told him what has happened in there. And so Luke, who's obviously written the book of Acts, has just recounted what Paul has told him. In the subsequent two times where this account is given, one is before the crowd in Jerusalem and then subsequently before King Agrippa, in those second accounts, Luke is actually there and he's actually writing down exactly what he saw and what he heard, not just relaying what Paul told him, what happened in that earlier encounter. And so in the second one, when Paul is actually in front of King Agrippa, this is the third one in Acts, this is what Paul says that the Lord says to him. He adds an extra sentence in there that's not recorded in Acts 9. It says, "When we all fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads?'" Now that's a phrase we point, and they would use that to goad the oxen, or if they're going a little bit off track, they just give them a little prod with that just to help push them back on track. And these days, you know, they use those electric cattle prods where they and that gets them moving. Now the point of that is not to harm. You don't want to harm. If this is your cattle and these are your livelihood, you're not going to be causing them harm. You're just going to prod them, poke them, that they can actually feel it, a little bit of enough stiff comfort that they're going to actually move. And the same with an electric cattle prod. It doesn't kill them. It doesn't really harm them. Just enough discomfort just to get them to move. And so the Lord says to him, he says, "Paul, why do you kick against the goads?" In other words, Paul, I've been prodding you for quite some time. I've been just poking you, Paul. And there maybe is a little bit of discomfort at that time, but because I wanted to take your attention, or trying to get your attention. And he says to him, "Why do you kick against that?" Because what would happen is when some oxen were very stubborn, that when they had that little poking, they would just lash out. They'd lash out against that. Now, sometimes when they do that, the little prod, this is just enough to get their attention. You lash out and kick against that, that's going to hurt. That's really going to hurt. That's going to dig into you. That's going to really hurt. And he's saying, "Paul, why are you doing that? I've been prodding you, Paul. I've been to get hurt. Something gets, you get hurt in your life." And I tell you what, there's people who don't know Jesus Christ where the Lord is just gently prodding them, so trying to get their attention. And then they kick out against that and they get hurt in the process, rather than listening to the Lord. And so the Lord's been prodding Paul for some time. "Paul, come on, I'm trying to get your attention." But he is so preoccupied in what he's doing. He is so zealous against this cause that he thinks is a righteous cause. He thinks that this is what my life is about. This is how I'm supposed to live. This is why I'm here. This is what I'm on about. And so consumed by that, he doesn't listen. And there's some people here, maybe today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's been prodding you, trying to get your attention. And sometimes you've kicked against that and things have happened and you think, pain in my life. And Lord just wants to love you. And that's the great revelation that Paul has as we go on and read the whole life of Paul as it unfolds, the revelation. But it certainly was. And so sometimes it'll take that little prodding. And sometimes if we don't actually acknowledge that, we don't respond to that, the Lord just drawing, "Come on, I love you, just come to me. I want your attention. I want you to come into my kingdom. I want you to be with me. I want you to know my love and grace." And so rather than fighting against that, and so Paul then has this dramatic conversion. Something happens, something has to break. And maybe if you're someone here today that, yeah, look, I know God's been tugging at my heart. I know he's been prodding me, but I just keep kicking against it, and I wonder why I end up in so much pain and heartache. And maybe the Lord's trying to get your attention, because the first intervention I want to talk about, interruption, divine interruption, is where the Lord is just going to get your attention, because he wants to save you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know what it is to be his child. He wants you to know what it is to know his love and grace, and what it is to have the peace of God, to know that you're spending eternity with him. And he tried to get your attention and he's prodding away. And so Paul, who missed these little proddings, and sometimes he was kicking against them and gritting, because he was a stubborn man, Paul, and not giving up here, I'm just going to keep doing it. And eventually there had to be this break, and the Lord says, okay, that's enough, Saul. Oh, why are you persecuting me? And maybe for some, this to you today, maybe this is your moment when the Lord has been prodding away, but this is your moment, this is your Damascus moment, where the Lord says, come on, open your eyes. I want you to see how much I love you, what I have for you, that the plan that I have for you. And certainly when we give our life to Christ, it's an amazing thing. Paul's life changed for eternity from this moment. For one who, and you read further down, someone who devoted his life now to destroying these Christians that were called Christians at that stage, the followers of the way, to destroy them, he suddenly flips around and realizes, hang on, this stuff is true. He is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is alive. He is the Lord. He is the one. And he turns his whole life around, and now he sends his whole life now. And his scripture says, like he's like in the pains of childbirth, just that Christ might be formed in people, his whole passion, his whole consuming life turns around. And when Jesus touches your life, it changes your life forever. It's an amazing thing. And maybe the Lord's been prodding you. Maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe there was a prod along the way, and you've responded to that. And I pray that this day that you will let the Lord shine his light upon you, and then not to blind you, but to open your eyes to the wonder and the possibilities, the awesome things that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the Lord wants to get our attention that we might know him. And so there will be these interruptions. And if people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, life will interrupt them in different times. And it's the Lord trying to get their attention. Some people, when something happens, rather than realizing this is where God is wanting to show his love and grace, some people turn around and actually rail against God. And that's kicking against the codes when the Lord just wants, I just want you to know how much I love you, and I just want to pour my love and grace upon you. But it is life-changing, his whole destiny, because God had called him right from the very beginning, even before he was born, that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles. He was going to be able to speak that message. And praise God, it's because of, obviously, because of Jesus Christ we're here, but also because of the revelation that Paul had, that of what Christ has done to the Gentiles, that we are here today and are able to worship and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he has this incredible interruption, this divine interruption on the road. But there's a couple more interruptions that we find out in this story. And here we have this guy, Ananias is there, and he we don't know exactly what he's doing. He could be at work. We don't know what his work is. He's just minding his own business. He may be praying. He might have been praying. We don't know what he was doing. He might have been washing the dishes. He might have been taking his kids off to school on the back of the donkey. We don't know what he was doing. But we know that there was this interruption that came into his life. And the other thing that God will interrupt our lives for is because he wants us to serve him. And really, if we want to serve the Lord, people, everyone wants to serve the Lord. If you want to serve the Lord, how do you serve the Lord? You serve other people. That's how we serve the Lord, by serving others. You want to serve the Lord, serve other people. That's how we serve. And the other interruption that the Lord will bring into our lives is where He wants us to serve someone, to help someone. And so here he is, this guy, he's minding his own business, and the Lord calls him in a vision. Now, whether he actually saw something physically there, the Lord appearing, or whether it was whether he was half asleep, or sometimes in Scripture he says, I fell into like a trance, where they're just totally captivated, where the Lord just speaks to them. The Lord gets his attention. And this time, it's not about his salvation. He knows the Lord. This guy is a believer. Ananias here is a believer. And the Lord speaks to him. And let's read that again. In Damascus, there was a disciple. And so we know he's a believer. He's a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Now, he lived in Damascus. Everybody knew Straight Street. Straight Street was a big road that went from east to west. It had been put there when Alexander the Great had conquered through that area, built that road, big thoroughfare through there when the Romans then came and conquered. It was there with big colonnades, and apparently even it's still there to this day, those colonnades. So everybody knows Straight Street. Everybody would know that. So he wouldn't be there looking up his mail ways. He knew exactly where it was, or trying to put it in his phone, which he didn't have anyway, trying to find it. Everyone knew where to go. But he says, go to this man, go to this place. He says, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. And when you go there, he says, and ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And so there's this interruption that he has. He's minding his own business, and the Lord just gives him this instruction, quite an explicit instruction, go to this place, and there's something there that I want to do. He interrupted him. He's minding his own business, doing his own thing, whatever that was, and the Lord interrupts him. And then he goes on and says, in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And so he has this instruction that the Lord gives him. And it's interesting because not only has the Lord interrupted his life, but Paul, who is, we know, is blind now and praying, because in that encounter he was blinded. Such bright was the light, he just was blinded for that time. The Lord speaks to Saul and says, there's a guy who's going to come and lay hands upon you, he's going to restore your sight. And at the same time, the Lord speaks to Ananias and says, there's a guy named Saul, and this is where he is, and you've got to go there, lay hands on him, that he might receive his sight. It's interesting how the Lord speaks to both of them at the same time. It's quite powerful. But the thing that he's asked to do, when the Lord interrupts Ananias, whatever he's doing, it's a pretty scary thing. He says, I want you to go to Saul, to Judas's house. Saul of Tarsus is there. And he goes, hang on a minute. I know this guy. This is the guy that's been rounding up. And maybe he's best friends. Maybe he's some of his family members. Maybe some of them were rounded up by Paul and taken off. But they know this guy. They're scared of this guy that's coming. And so he says, Lord, you really want me to do this? This guy might kill me. This guy, so he sort of talks to the Lord, and then the Lord just says, go and do it. And sometimes the Lord will interrupt our lives, and he'll ask us to do things that are inconvenient to us and also may be difficult, may be scary to do that. But the Lord actually said, go. And when he lays hands on him, he's got no ability to heal a blind man, but of course the Lord heals him. The Lord heals him. And the Lord will interrupt your life, and there'll be interruptions in your life where God wants to speak to you and for us to respond to him, that we might actually affect someone else's life. There's somebody that could be praying even right now. Somebody is on their knees praying, and even as Paul was there, and he's for 3 days, he's fasting now because he's blind and had this encounter with Jesus, and his whole life has suddenly changed, and he's crying out to God, and then God interrupts. Ananias over here, and he comes, and he actually is the answer to his prayer. And so God may be interrupting your life, and God may be wanting to speak to you, and I'm sure God is doing this all the time. But some of us are just oblivious to it. But we may be, the very thing that God is placing upon our heart may be the answer in someone's prayer. Now, I've been, in the time I've been pastoring, not just here, but also before I came here, I've twice it's happened where the Lord has put on my heart just to give somebody a call at a certain time. And at an inconvenient time where I didn't want to do that at that time. In fact, probably the last thing that I wanted to do was to do that. I was probably tired, I might have been sick, I might have been whatever it was, I just didn't want to do it. But anyway, obediently make the call, and twice the person said, I was just praying, and they were about to leave their spouse. And they said, Lord, if you don't want me to leave this spouse, you better do something right now, or otherwise. And the bags were packed. This has happened twice over 28 years or whatever. And where the bags were packed and the person was going to go, and they just said a prayer, said, Lord, if you don't want me to walk out right now, then you've got to do something. And I've just rung. I just said, look, the Lord has said to you on my heart, I just want to see how you're going. And then the person just breaks down the phone and they explain the situation, and then we talk it through and pray it through, and they stay, and praise God. In both of those cases, the people are still happily married. I praise God for that after many, many years. But it's not always convenient. But that's a desperate plea for someone. Like, their bags are packed. They're about to cross the Rubicon. They're going to cross a line here, and really, in their mind, there's no turning back. For them to get to that point where they feel, I'm out of here, and yet the Lord in His mercy. But see, I'm sure there's times too where the Lord's prompted me, and I have missed it because I was too preoccupied. And the challenge for every one of us is to be always aware that God wants to interrupt us, and He does that. There'll be times where God will put someone in your heart. You're not even thinking about that person. And that person comes into your mind. Well, what are you going to do with that? Well, the first thing I'll do is pray. Lord, you know, I wasn't thinking about this person. I'm doing something else, and then bang, this person comes into my mind. Well, then what do you do? First thing I'll do is I'll pray for them. But then maybe, you know, you pray for them, and then maybe the Lord, you put it on your heart, just give them a call. Or maybe there's someone in a situation, a need that God puts on your heart. Someone's in a desperate need. They're crying out, you know, Lord, I really need you to come through on this. And you're the answer to their prayer. And the Lord wants to interrupt you, that you would be the one that comes and do that. Because how the Lord works, he works through people. We want to serve the Lord, we serve others. And yeah, the Lord sometimes does amazing, direct, miraculous interventions. But usually He works through people. And so you can be the answer to somebody's prayer. And so we've got to be ready and say, Lord, I don't want to be so preoccupied with what I'm doing, even though I think it's really righteous and it's a really good cause and, you know, it's all consuming, I'm doing this, but no, because we don't always have to want to have Damascus experiences that the Lord just has to get our attention. Sometimes the Lord is prodding us because He wants us to touch somebody's lives. And sometimes we kick against that, saying, no, I'm not going to be too bothered. It's raining, it's cold, it's wet, it's blah, blah, blah. And let's be sensitive. That's my point here. Let's be sensitive, because you can be the answer to somebody's prayer. And somebody's life can be changed completely because you allowed the Lord to interrupt you. And so we want to be sensitive to the Lord and not be so preoccupied that we're never listening to the Lord. And I'm sure the Lord is doing that. You can be the answer to so many people's prayers, and I encourage us to do that. So the Lord will interrupt us that people won't know Him, but He also interrupts us that we will serve and help. And even if it's something that's inconvenient, and even in this case, it was dangerous. And it was interesting, the Lord didn't condemn him when he had questions. He said, oh, Lord, you know, should I do that? And sometimes when the Lord puts something on our heart, you know, sometimes we have a little wrestle. Oh, was that me or not? Or did I just... And you just have to be obedient and do it. The Lord didn't condemn him when he tried to give every excuse why, you know, why he couldn't do it. And the Lord said, just go, just do it. Just obey. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And that's what we need to do. When the Lord puts something in our heart to do, you know, to bless someone, to help someone, to answer, even be the answer to someone's prayer, don't argue about it. Just go ahead and do it and to do that. And so there'll be interruptions to actually help someone. And then there's this other interruption that I want to speak, which is in this story. Now, I didn't read the rest of Acts 9. You can read it at home. But also in Acts 22, Acts 26 are the other accounts of this interruption that we have with Paul when the Lord interrupts him. Because first of all, He wants him to know Him. He wants him to know His love. Sometimes He'll interrupt us to help another person, to be the answer to the prayer. Sometimes the Lord interrupts us because He wants to help us. And He wants to bring an answer to us. And certainly that was what happened with Paul. If you were to read on again, and I'm not going to read all of these to you, but further down in chapter 9 is where we read about where he's in Jerusalem. But within this three-year period when he goes back to Jerusalem and then he's ministering there, and then this is what happens. Acts 22 explains this to us. And so I'll read this part. Acts 22, verse 17 to 21. When I returned to Jerusalem, so this is after 3 years after his conversion, and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw the Lord speaking to me. And so here he is, he's in Jerusalem and he's praying. And I tell you what, praying is a good thing to do. not just because of the benefit of you know of being of what God will do and things that He can do in our lives, but and obviously the joy of being close to Him, the intimacy. But if you really want to be tuned to what the Lord is saying, be in prayer. If you really want to be a person that is going to be used of God, you need to be a praying person, because that is when our ear is inclined. And you can be doing that while you're washing the dishes, doing your laundry. You can be doing that. You can be on the way to work or wherever you are, at school, wherever you are. Just have that heart of prayer. Just, Lord, I just want to be aware of You, Lord, and I'm focused on You. And so when I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying at the temple. I fell into a trance and I saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, He said, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Lord, I replied. So the Lord gives him this warning. He says, you better get out of here. He's come back. Now he comes back to Jerusalem, and eventually we find the very end of his life when he goes before King Agrippa, and he goes off and then gets imprisoned for a couple of years in Caesarea, and then he goes off and he gets shunted off to Rome, and so his life goes on from there. But when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. Quick, He said, leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me. Now, if the Lord Himself gives you a warning about something, I tell you what, and particularly about your life is in danger, I think, okay, if the Lord's telling me my life's in danger, I'm out of here. I'm not hanging around. But Paul, good old Paul, he decides to hang on a minute and just help the Lord get his facts straight. Hang on a minute, Lord. What, you know, he's basically, if we look at his argument, he basically is saying, you know, why would they do that for? Why would they be against me? And this is what he says. Lord, I replied, these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. So the Lord said, these people are going to get you. You better get out of here. You are in danger. And then his answer is, I'm not in danger. Why would I be in danger? I was on their team. They know what I did. You know, why would they be against me? I've come to Jerusalem. And the Lord warns him. And then the Lord just says, then the Lord said to me, go. I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And so sometimes God will interrupt. And there was this interruption that he had in Jerusalem when the Lord speaks to him, and it's for our own good. Sometimes he'll interrupt us because he wants us to know him. Sometimes he interrupts us because he wants us to do something to touch another life. Sometimes he interrupts us because it is for our own benefit, for our own good. And Paul is interesting that he actually argues with the Lord. And maybe you've done that. Probably we've all done that at times, where the Lord has said something to us. He's spoken to us. But then we lay the facts down to the Lord. No. And we try to rationalize that. No. Look, that can't be because of this, and this. And Paul's trying to work out, no, they're not going to be against me. You know, I was on their team. And the Lord says, just go. And so we want to be sensitive to the Lord as well, because the Lord will say things which are for our benefit in our life. He will speak to you. Because the Lord's on your side. We've been singing, He's a good, good father. Well, a good, good father looks after his kids. He looks after his children. But sometimes what happens is that we are so preoccupied and so caught up and consumed with the stuff of life, the Lord is trying to tell us something for our benefit, but we're not listening. We're not praying. And it's amazing how people don't pray, and how they don't listen, and how they don't hear. Maybe because and to be the answer for someone else's prayer and to be used of God, it's an amazing, wonderful privilege for each and every one of us to be used in that way. But sometimes the Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus, will speak to us, and it'll be for our benefit. And yet we're so caught up and so preoccupied, we don't listen, or else we have a sense of, oh, maybe God's warning me about not taking that job. But then we argue and we think, no, hang on a minute. Yeah, but that job's close to home, and man, that's actually a pay rise. And this must be you, Lord. You can't be saying, no, don't take the job. We give every reason why. But no, the Lord's put it in our heart, don't take that job. And He's trying to guard us, because maybe in that job, if we take that job, there's going to be a lot of heartache, a lot of frustration, a lot of pain, a whole lot of stuff. And the Lord's trying to protect us from that. But sometimes we get so caught up we don't listen to Him. And I'm amazed at how many people make major decisions, even life decisions, And they do that without even submitting it to the Lord, without even giving them the opportunity to interrupt. And so coming before the Lord, say, Lord, I've got this job opportunity. Lord, should I take this? And the Lord might say, yeah, go, take that job. Yeah, I've given you that job. But some people don't. They just assume, oh, I've got an offer of a job. This must be God. I'll run straight in there. Don't do that. Things in life aren't, some things are just going to happen. Some things the devil's going to do. Some things are just going to happen because of life. Some things that God has opened and orchestrated for us. And if you don't discern the difference, you can get yourself into some pain and some heartache. And so we need to be people that are ready for the Lord to interrupt us. And so maybe today, if you've come here today and maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a religious background as Paul did. You may be very religious about the law and following the law and doing everything right. And if I get it all right, maybe God will love me. Rather than what our faith is about is that we know he can't get it right. And it's because he loves us. It's because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can be in fellowship, in relationship with our Father in heaven. And so maybe this is your interruption today. Maybe the Lord's prodded you. Maybe you're here because you got prodded along the way. Maybe this is your day for the Lord to encounter the Lord Jesus Christ personally. And when we give the opportunity at the end of the service, give an opportunity for prayer, you say, yeah, look, I want to receive Jesus. I want what he did on the cross to apply for me. I want to know the promise of eternal life. I want to know what it is to have a life that is full of him and full of my destiny, the very purpose which he made me to be fulfilled. I don't want to be walking around like a blind man anymore. I want Jesus in my life, and I want his destiny, his plan for me to unfold. Maybe you're like that. Maybe that the Lord's been putting something on your heart, someone that he wants you to touch or bless. And maybe it's inconvenient because you're tired, you're busy. I mean, people tell me they're busy. I mean, everyone is busy. Unemployed people lying on a beach on a banana lounge. Tell you what, they're busy. They'll tell you they're busy. But everybody's busy. I've never met anyone who said they're not busy. And sometimes some people's level of busy is fanatically over the top busy. Some people think, gee, you sound like you're on holidays. No, I'm busy. It's everyone's perception. Everybody's busy. But we can be busy in our mind, and whatever that means to us, where we're not listening to what the Lord is saying. And there's somebody praying, and they're saying, Lord, please answer my prayer. And the Lord's over here saying, just give them a call. Just give them a ring. Just go visit them. Just bless them. Do this, do that. But no, we're too busy, or we're just not listening. Or when the Lord does, we think of every reason why not. Oh, hang on a minute. No, look, you know, that person over there, you know, looked really, you know. No, just go, the Lord says, go and do that. Let's allow him to interrupt us, that we might be the answer to other people's prayer. But even for our own sake, let's be people that are listening and praying. Because if Paul didn't get out of there, he would have been in a lot of problems. He would have been in a lot of trouble. Now, he heard, and yeah, he had a bit of a struggle and gave some logical reasons why. No, and we can do that. But at the end of the day, Paul was obedient. And we need to do that because the Lord will speak to you. And he'll drop things into your heart which are for your own good. But given the opportunity to do that, be people that are praying that he can interrupt and do that. If there's a decision that you need to make, don't just run off into the sunset skipping thinking it must be the Lord. Just hear the voice of the Lord, pray about it and say, Lord, I just have this in my heart, Lord, I have this thing before me, this opportunity. Lord, is this you? Is this you, Lord? And just let the Lord talk to you. I'm amazed at how many people make all sorts of decisions and haven't really brought it to the Lord, haven't surrendered it to him. The Lord looks after his kids, and we make a whole lot of blundering mistakes because we didn't really listen to him. Now, sometimes things happen to us because we're a victim, because we live in a sinful world. Nothing to do with us. We're doing the best we can, and other people have done stuff, and that happens because we're in a sinful world. But often it's because we haven't allowed the Lord to interrupt us and haven't listened to him and protected us from our own folly. We think it's a good thing. We think, this has got to be good. Here's all the reasons why. And Paul's given all the good reasons why to stay in Jerusalem. The Lord's just saying, just go. And so he goes and he fulfills that call. And so my challenge to us this morning is to be people that, you know, let there be divine interruptions in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, let this be your divine interruption, that you're here for a reason. You came today to church for a reason. Maybe you've never been to church, or maybe you haven't been in a long time, or maybe you had a religious mindset like Paul and law and grace and not understanding the life and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Let this be your time. Let him interrupt you now and give your life to Christ. We'll give you that opportunity in a moment when we pray. But for every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're the answer to other people's prayer. Allow the Lord to interrupt you. Yeah, put yourself out. Do something inconvenient. And tell you what, it's very inconvenient to go to someone who you think this guy might want to kill me. But the Lord told him to do that. And so to be sensitive to that, allow the Lord to interrupt. Be the answer to someone else's prayer. And submit the things to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. Let the Lord speak to us. Because the Lord will protect us along the way. He is a good, good Father. We've got to listen to him and submit those decisions before the Lord. Don't just assume every good thing that comes, everything that glitters is gold. You know, some people get these jobs and things and think, oh, this must be from the Lord. But then they have the job and then they don't have any fellowship. They never go to church. They never do that. And they drift away. I don't think God gave them that job. But maybe they didn't pray about it. Say, Lord, well, really, Lord, is this from you? Or is this something that's trying to pull me away from you? And now I know that there's a balance in that, and I know some people have to work shifts, and there's all of those complications in all of those things. But let's not make decisions that have implications lightly. Let's allow the Lord to intervene and speak into our hearts and our lives. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good Father. And Lord, even to Paul, Lord, you showed your goodness to him, Lord. Even when he was murdering and killing and throwing people in prison and having them beaten and flogged, Lord, and ripping apart families, Lord, someone who was acting in such a horrendous way, Lord, out of your mercy to Paul, Lord, that you intervened in his life, Lord. And all of the things he's done, Lord, that you cancelled those out. And Lord, you let Paul become your child, Lord, and to receive you, Lord. And Father, we just pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, that they'll have the courage, Lord. Lord, that you've been provoking them, you've been prodding them, Lord, you've been drawing them. Father, give them the courage this day to say, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ this day. And Father, for every one of us, Lord, where we've ignored those interruptions, Lord, or maybe even listened, Lord, Lord, we thank you, Lord, you don't condemn us for that, Lord. But, Lord, you alert us to that, Lord, that you are speaking to us, Lord. And there's things that you want us to do, Lord. There's people's lives you want us to touch. So, Father, I pray, Lord, help us to be sensitive to that, Lord. And even the things in our own lives, Lord, that we just won't run off like a bull in a china shop, Lord, or just run off, Lord, and doing all these things, Lord, without submitting our hearts to you, Father. Lord, that we might know, Lord, yeah, this is what you want me to do, Father. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, Lord, help us to be sensitive, Lord, to let you invade our lives. Lord, let you to interrupt, Lord, that we might know the very things that you have for us. Father, we submit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.